You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's news talk leader. This is Lee from Huntsville in for Phil Williams, live from the Right Side Studios, local, state, national, all the issues. We're solid, conservative, and just plain right. So this afternoon we've got a caller from Moms for Liberty who is going to talk to us. Elizabeth Stewart is going to talk to us about some concerning issues with the Athens Limestone County library system. So this is what I would call a mini dipper. And this mini dipper is going to, Phil talked about this yesterday in Library Madness. And I wanted to make sure that we brought on someone who has some in-depth knowledge about what's going on specifically in the Athens Limestone area. And Elizabeth does live in that area and is pretty knowledgeable on what's happening. So we're going to bring her on. Elizabeth, why don't you come and just kind of tell everybody what's happening in that area and what concerns you might have for Athens Library, and the ALA in general.
Thank you so much for having me on. I so appreciate it. And I'm not an expert, but I will tell everybody I'm a mom. I have two young children. My oldest is 8, and I have used public libraries since I became a mom to go to story hours, and I'm really a big believer in them. I think it's a great way to bring about community and get people together and also bring education to young people. So I started following this kind of across the country. There's mm-hmm. been a move to disaffiliate from the American Library Association, which we call the ALA, mm-hmm. and I want to just kind of give a background real quick on the different names so that people are not confused on the players in the state and then what's happening locally in Limestone County. So every state, and Alabama is not unique here, they have local libraries, and every local library has its own policy. Mm-hmm. And most local libraries are set up usually with the county and the city. So I live in Limestone County and I live in Athens City. I live in both. Mm-hmm. We have one main library that is public. There's two, but there's only one that's like large and services children. Mm-hmm. And so it is comprised of a library board of trustees, and that board is appointed by the County Commission of Limestone and the Athens City Council. It is funded by both of those entities, okay, in addition to the state of Alabama. And in our policy, just like pretty much every county in Alabama, we have adopted an agreement with the American Library Association. And when we say that, usually what people mean is that means they have fully agreed to the ALA's Bill of Rights. This is a form that is used across the country. It's been around, honestly, since 1939. And it's been amended a few times. But the reason that the governor of Alabama and Phil talked about yesterday, and a lot of states have disaffiliated from the ALA, is that when you adopt this Bill of Rights, I'm going to just give you a couple statements. You are saying, and this is in quotes, materials should not be excluded because of origin, background, or views of those contributing to their creation. Materials should not be removed because of partisan or doctrinal disapproval. Materials should challenge censorship and the fulfillment of their responsibility to provide information and enlightenment. This goes on. There's about 10 different points. And when you adopt this as your policy, you're basically saying that once a book is there, to move it or remove it is considered censorship, and the library cannot do that. And that's very troublesome. And it's what the governor has said. This Library Bill of Rights is making it very challenging for parents to challenge books that are sexually explicit or contain adult material.
I would think that each city or location should write their own Bill of Rights. Why would they be adopting a national one, especially if it's this extreme?
100% agree. And what's really gone on for the last couple decades, has been that the ALA, which is run by a self-prescribed Marxist, she also has publicly stated that she wants queer material available to children. So there is not only a Marxist collectivist push, but mm-hmm. she wants sexually explicit material in the young adults and child section. But the ALA has basically used their lawyers to help write local library policies all across the country. Limestone is a very rural, it's getting to be more suburban, but it's a rural area, and this has been our policy for years.
And a conservative area.
Very, very conservative. Most people have no idea. I'm not even sure how many county commissioners, as we've been meeting with county commissioners and city council, most of them aren't really aware of what bringing the Library Bill of Rights in means. And that's why the governor put out 2 weeks ago a statement that said she encourages all local libraries to look at their policies and make necessary changes. And specifically, she called on local libraries to change the way they are doing book relocation requests and consider disaffiliating from the ALA. So that's what we're doing in Limestone. I'm working with a number of citizens that are proposing to remove the ALA affiliation. And not only that, we are proposing to remove the one paragraph on sexual content and replace it with actual criteria that would allow parents to bring about books that have concerns and have it addressed quickly. The current policy literally says in Limestone, it is the responsibility of the library to provide an adequate quantity of books on sex that are authoritative and up to date. These books should include a broad range of physiological, psychological, and moral ethical treatments of sex, and they should reflect changing attitudes and departures from traditional mores.
Whoa, you lost me on that one. The changing attitudes, I don't think so. Is it going to be how to choose your first drag name? That's insane.
And not only is that their only policy under book selection on sex, it is not followed up with any concrete criteria so that parents or guardians would be able to know if it's appropriate. Anyone that's been to a local library knows that they're divided into a children's section, a juvenile section, and a young adult section. One would think you would have criteria about content that should or should not be allowed. Athens Limestone is literally saying we want to have ample amounts of sexual material with no criteria.
So who decides which it's going to go into, children, young adult? Who makes that designation? Librarians?
Well, currently it's very subjective. So, this is the other reason to disaffiliate from the ALA. The ALA, as an organization across the country, makes book referrals. So if they're recommending books, and oh, by the way, Athens mm-hmm. Limestone is paying for their library director to be a paid member of the ALA. They encourage staff to. And I'm not picking on Athens Limestone librarian at all. This is the norm. So wherever you live, whatever county you live in, whatever city you live in, this is why the governor has said every local area has to look at their local policies and address it. What's happening in Athens Limestone is not unique. That section on sexual content, that is unique to Athens Limestone, but the setup of being part of the ALA and having very, very vague criteria for sexual content and then making it almost impossible to move or remove books, that is normal.
Yeah, that's a problem. So what can parents do? What can concerned citizens do? You don't have to be a parent to know this isn't right. What can we do? Who can we contact? How can we reach out?
So there's two different parts to this. I would love to encourage your listeners to get know what's happening legislatively. Legislatively, mm-hmm. Alabama is also part of the Alabama Public Library Service. That's nicknamed APLS. Mm-hmm. The governor's investigation into libraries specifically was about APLS. We have a number of legislators. We have the House Speaker, Scott Staghagen. We have the Speaker of the House. Sorry, the majority lead is Scott Staghagen. We mm-hmm. have the Speaker of the House, Ledbetter. Mm-hmm. And then you have people like Senator Arthur Orr who are looking at really pushing APLS to disaffiliate from the American Library Association. That is a tax-funded professional service to librarians. So mm-hmm. please call your state House and state Senate representative and encourage them to follow through with getting APLS to disaffiliate from the American Library Association. That's number one. That's legislatively.
Okay.
Locally, you want to figure out who is your city council member, who is your county commissioner member. Mm-hmm. If you can dig and figure out your library board of trustees, that's helpful. And there's two things you want to look at. You want to look at disaffiliating from the American Library Association because that's really what's preventing the librarian to move books and remove them without mm-hmm. violating their own policies. This has put our local librarians in a difficult situation.
Okay.
And if your policy, if you want to take time to look at it, has sections that need to be changed on sexual content, or if it doesn't have one at all, and you need to create useful criteria that's objective on dealing with sexual content, then there should be a consideration to add that
right.
to policy.
Absolutely. That just makes
sense.
So
those are the two things. Basically, your local representatives that are serving in Montgomery, but also your local county commissioners and your city council, they are the ones that appoint your board of trustees. And the board of trustees of the library, they get to decide when a policy is changed and amended.
Okay. Well, it seems like we all need to get a little bit more involved, or we're going to end up with Playboy magazine in the kids section, I swear.
Yeah, and people don't realize that a lot of these books are their novels. And I mm-hmm. can tell you that we have had a recent author moved to the adult section in Limestone per a relocation request. And that book contained in it a scene with adult and minor sexual scene. It contained homosexual scenes. It contained rape, graphic rape, all in one novel. Mm. Nobody is saying that there's not ever going to be sexual content, but what parents have brought to light is not your classic book. It's also not book banning. It's not book banning that taxpayers want adult material in the adult section.
Yeah.
To me, that's just common sense.
That is common sense. And can children check out any of these at any time, or is there, you know, if something questionable?
Well, it depends on your age.
Okay.
Different libraries have different ages for library cards. But yes, I mean, there's people okay. that would fall into the juvenile and young adult section often do have their own library card. And that's something I appreciate about what Governor Ivey said. Governor Ivey said the library can do its part to protect children when parents are not available. And
right.
parents should have a say. But not every child is always going to have a parent with them all the time. Libraries need to take ownership of what they are putting on display, activities they're doing,
right.
and book placement as well.
Okay, well, thank you very much. This has been really enlightening. I appreciate it. Thank you, Elizabeth Stewart with Moms for Liberty. And I encourage everyone to get out there and have that conversation, you know, both with your representatives and with the local folks who are bringing in the library board. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for highlighting this.
Well, we will be back shortly, guys, and we'll talk a little bit more about this. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Lee from Huntsville, in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. And that was quite an interesting conversation we just had with Elizabeth from Moms for Liberty, kind of talking about the library system in Athens specifically, and their bylaws. That's, I don't know, Boomer, that's kind of disturbing that the bylaws said that they must provide this type of...
And then the bylaws also say that the discrimination, they're not allowed to throw it away or something, right?
They're not allowed to move it based on traditional morals. Anything goes?
Why is it there in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, there is appropriate ages for things. You know, everything is not appropriate for everyone or every age. I mean, give me a break.
Give me a break. Okay, let me throw this at you. All right, mm-hmm. what if a concerned parent walked into the library mm-hmm. and checked out those books, and then happened to just keep them
and never return them?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they could replace them. May not.
I did look it up, and it did. I mean, the Google said that the library may replace them, but it doesn't say they will replace them.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I agree. You don't want children being, I just see this is implanting ideas and normalizing things. It's really normalizing contact, especially sexual contact with adults. And there's another word for that, and it's called grooming.
Mm.
And I think that, having books in the library, there was an issue with a book, and I'm not going to bring it up or say what it is, but it horrified me when I looked at it was a graphic novel about sexual development. And the pictures, oh, my good Lord, you used to have to buy Hustler to get that kind of view.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. And this was considered acceptable for 10 years old.
10. Absolutely not.
Depictions.
What they're trying to push or think that then now is acceptable is just, it's completely wrong. And it needs to be looked at through maybe looked at it from cleaner eyes or someone that actually understands that this is grooming and we should not be doing this to our kids.
Children are not, they don't understand sex, and they don't understand those type of conversations, and they don't and feeding it to them this way really is normalizing, and I think it's damaging. It's really, children need to be innocent as long as they can be, and with every kid having an iPhone by a certain age and all that, everybody says, oh well, they'll see it anyway. But I think that as a public, the parents are going to give to their kids what they're going to give to them, but as the public, we don't have to provide it.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree with that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it should be I don't think it should be within arm's reach.
No.
Again, if the parents are allowing it or giving it, that's
but not paid for. Not paid for by public funds.
No.
Well, not in the children's section.
It is not the state's job to teach my kid.
Exactly. I don't co-parent with the government. And I think that we just have to be careful what our public funds are used for and how they're used, and at least have a wise interpretation of age ranges of what's appropriate. Better to err on the side of a little older than way too young. All right, guys, we'll be back in just a minute with Boomer and McQueen. Everybody, this is Lee from Huntsville in for Phil Williams today. Just having a blast. I was so excited to fill in on a Thursday because I get to host Boomer and McQueen. Woo woo! And what you don't know, Boober, is that I make that noise while I'm driving or if I'm at home. When that plays, I just make that noise. Like, it's a compulsion.
I like it. It should be like a staple at any home. Woo woo.
It is. So, McQueen, I've actually been a fill-in for you a couple of times.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
So Boomer McQueen is Boomer and Lee.
Boomer and Lee, I like it.
One time it was Butters and Lee.
It was.
Which we said sounded like a pancake mix or something. Cookie mix.
Oh, I love it.
So so I'm excited to be on this side of the microphone once.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much you were able to catch on your way in, but we were talking a bit about the library system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as a parent, it's hard because I'm definitely one who thinks that each family should be able to raise their children the way they see fit within parameters, mm-hmm. of course, as long as it's safe. But I also don't think necessarily we as a public have to provide everything that every single person would ever want.
Mm-hmm.
So if we taking into consideration the library issue, what do you think about you and Boomer about should these really graphic books be provided at all? Even to me, it's a no-brainer that they should be moved. Anything that's graphic, really graphic, should never be in the children or even the preteen section. But should they even be in the adult section? Should we be doing that? I mean, should we be? At what point do you stop? Like, are we providing, you know, pornographic material at some point?
And are we talking like public libraries or yes. school libraries? Okay.
Both.
Well, I think in a school library, absolutely, it should, there's no reason for it to be there for whatever grade. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're talking about a university library, then, you know, maybe that's different. But like, as far as a 12th grade and under, there is absolutely zero reason. You know, and I think, I mean, really at that point, you're just providing material for someone not doing something that they should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
They can seek that out on their own. I just think that's absolutely absurd, just totally unnecessary, absurd, uncalled for to be in a school library.
Right.
After that, like, I mean, personally, I still don't feel like it should be there. That's why we used to have like adult bookstores and whatnot. Go there.
That's what I was about to say.
Well, like, just go there.
I don't know if they still exist.
I don't really know if they do either.
Why do you have to have it in the public library? Just take it to the adult store. Put it, you know, there's no reason to have any of the graphic material. I would say that is easily accessible. Because even in an adult section at a library, it is still easily accessible
yeah.
for anyone to grab
for sure.
and get a hold yeah, of.
Because are they watching, you know, if kids yeah, are picking exactly. this up off
no.
the shelf?
It's not like there's a sound of alarm right when they walk into the into
this
the
feels
adult
like
section.
A fifth grader picked this up. Yeah. Like, and I mean, same thing too with like going to the movies. Like, if it's a rated R movie, you have identification to get through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not being monitored. So, yeah, I think there's zero reason. And, like, I kind of overheard you guys out there when about just talking about our tax dollars. No, I don't want my money going to supplying this for children. Like, no way. And also, I can actually remember this when I was in, I think I was probably second or third grade. I can still remember being in the library at my school. You know, like, when you would go, you'd have, like, library time, like, once a week or whatever. And I remember at the end of library time, our teacher pulling us aside and said, who Googled SEX in the search bar? I can still remember this. And I was like, I mean, I was probably, I think I was like third grade or something. And I was like, oh, like, I just knew that was a bad word. I mean, like, how far have we gone? I mean,
it's pretty bad.
It was a boy.
When I was like in that grade, I thought it was a disease. I thought that word. I didn't know. Whatever.
Well, I didn't know anything about it either. I just knew it was a bad one.
Well, you knew a boy did it. Like, it was certainly
oh,
a
for
boy.
Sure. Yeah, for sure it was. Sure. But, like, that just shows, like, that was, you know, in third grade, someone just Googled that and how much trouble we got in, whereas now it's being like, hey, this, drag queens, all these things. So, like, how far we've sunk in a, because, you know, that wasn't that long ago because I'm young and all.
Because you're so young.
I'm a spring chicken, yeah.
Well, y'all are definitely younger than I am. I think you would be considered millennial. For sure.
Gen X. We're older than, we're like in that in between, I feel like, of, I don't know. I don't remember.
Well, you want to be part of Gen X. Just come on over because we're much cooler. I will say that. I agree. I remember my daughter in sixth grade she was a voracious reader and she could read on a 12th grade level in sixth grade. That was tough for me
mm-hmm.
because I had to pick books that she could read going higher and higher in these levels that were appropriate. And I just mean general books. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that, because a lot of people are going to say, well, you want to deny that LGBT people exist and all that. I don't. There's characters. I get it. I'm talking about explicit material. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about hypersexualized material, especially for preteen and children. It just, they should have no contact with that.
Yeah, not at all.
Because it's just not appropriate. I think that if a parent wants to, that's why I don't think it's right when people say it's banning. It's not banning. It's what's appropriate. Mm-hmm. And hold these over for adults, not for children. And if you want to buy that for your child, that's your right. You want to go on Amazon, buy that book. I mean, that's your right as a parent. But I don't think that we should, with tax dollars, have to provide it.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, that's not our government's job, is to provide those things for our kids. That's the parents. If they choose to do that, that's their choice.
I think it's kind of dangerous, too, when you have language like the Athens Library language, where it's saying that they must provide these things and that you can't even take into consideration traditional moral, you know, there's just, you know, children are innocent.
Yep.
And they're, if we continue to erode the moral code of what children should see and what they shouldn't.
We've gone down a very slippery, dark slope. It's just like
the Athens Library. If that's the Athens Library, it's just kind of like what the government's doing as well, of saying we are having to accept all of these things now, and then they're pushing it on the adults along with all the kids, and now they're saying, hey, it is okay for you to, it is okay now for you to think that you are a different gender. It's okay. Mm-hmm. They're just pushing it on it. And so now there's small places like libraries and other businesses and stuff like that that are just joining on in and saying, all right, this is okay. Let's just jump on this bandwagon too.
Yeah. Well, libraries are librarians and the system that educates librarians, because, you know, they almost all have to have at least a master's, and they tend to be very liberal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Librarians are liberal. The American Library Association is wackadoodle liberal. Yeah. They're on the far end of liberal.
Yeah,
she's like the Marxist, you know, lesbian who's, you know, just like what's behind Black Lives Matter. I don't know. There's a theme here. And I think when you look at that and you say, I think we're all just starting to wake up. It's just like we all figured out what our kids were learning during COVID when we're actually watching the videos and going, wait a minute.
Wait, that's wait a reading, minute. Writing, and arithmetic.
Why are you learning this?
Exactly. I think people are starting to wake up and go, that book is in the library? Because they're not looking for it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I think that it's just, there's appropriate and then there's inappropriate.
Completely.
And they ought to have some sort of way to distinguish that in, you know, in how where they put the books. And she was saying they really don't. And so, and in a place as conservative as Athens?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just find that a bit surprising.
And then you go, what's going on in other areas? It's even, yeah.
Well, I mean, and then you look at, like, what happened in the Madison County, which includes Huntsville and Madison and Madison County. When you look at what happened back in the summer when they had the big blow up over Kirk Cameron coming to read a children's book.
Mm-hmm. A text, Jeremy from Huntsville. It says, parent advisory, explicit lyrics, under 17, not admitted, TVMA, mature audiences. When did books get the free pass?
Amen.
I am right there with you.
Wow, that was good, Jeremy. Thank you for that.
And I think that you could code books that way.
Yeah.
And a child under a certain age could not check it out from an adult section if it had that designation.
For sure.
The problem is, I think that they want this kind of contact. There is an underlying...
Oh, for sure. That's exactly what the underlying problem is.
There's an underlying reason for it.
Yeah.
They want it, and it goes along with, like, what I just saw, you know, what we've been seeing for a while with, like, this is love, and it's a picture of boy, boy, girl, girl, boy, girl, adult, child. Nope, it's not. That's just what they're pushing, and I think this is right in line with that... their agenda.
That same book that was causing all the the trouble in the, you know, people fighting to get it out of the library down in South Alabama in Fairhope was like that. Not only did it have extremely graphic pictures, and I mean extremely graphic, they were drawn, so they were graphic and graphic.
Oh gosh.
But it had every type of sex in there listed, and it's all like, this is just one is just as good as the other. And then finally, what really got me is they were showing all these different types of naked bodies and what they look like, and there's grown men depicted fully naked, frontal naked. I'm like, and it said the book was for 10. Mm. And I'm just like, 10 years old?
Yeah.
You want to be giving a 10-year-old child a book that has graphic pictures of naked adults? I just think, I don't know. It seems like most reasonable people would say, yes, that needs a designation that says, you know, that's above a certain age.
That's not ever necessary for most people. And that's like when you get married. If you want to check out some of these books, great. But I'm just disgusted by this.
I think we have to fight for our children, and we have to fight for their innocence.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And people need to wake up and care more about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Sadly. All right, guys. Well, we will be back in a little bit, and we'll explore another fun topic: TikTok.
Oh boy.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Lee from Huntsville, in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. Local, state, national, we got it all. We're having some fun conversations here because we're solid, conservative, and just plain right. We are in the segment called Boomer and McQueen.
Is that you that recorded that woo?
No, that was not me, guys.
Really?
No, that's actually.
It so sounds like
that's a sound effect. I've heard it. Yeah.
If you listen closely, it's actually the same.
It's the camel.
Ending of the camel.
Yeah, it's the camel.
It's the ending of the camel, is what it is. I just spliced it up and took it there. You thought it was me?
So you need to record yourself
doing
it.
That's what it is, probably.
I totally can see you doing it. I'm like, maybe you record that at home one day.
Oh, that's so funny. You need to just record yourself doing it, and that can be the new one.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's settled.
We're doing
it. That's settled. Okay, so we finished up with the library stuff.
Yeah, we're done with that. I get too mad if we talk about it anymore.
I know. So the next topic is going to be much less controversial.
Oh, I'm sure.
Not at all. TikTok.
Oh.
Yeah. That's going to be one of... That's my second dipper. Well, I've had like one and a half, so my second and a half dipper. So I have a 16-year-old
mm-hmm.
boy and very much loves TikTok. I've taken it off his phone umpteen times. He keeps putting it back on. And I tell him, you know, it's not really a worthwhile thing to pay attention to. I get it. I know that it's just for jokes. There's some dangerous things on there, though, and I'm going to talk mm-hmm. about that. But I just wonder. So you guys have younger children, and my question for both of you is, how are you going to mitigate the exposure to TikTok? And don't tell me you're not getting them a phone to high school, because I guarantee you that is not true.
Oh, that was my answer.
No, girl. That will not. When they start begging you in sixth grade, you will not hold out for 3 years. And they will.
I don't know. Promise. We're kind of the people that I think we might.
Your kid's going to be like, the only one without a phone. It's just going to be, you know.
I mean, okay, it might not be till they're 16, but I think we'll make it like till 14 or 15 really before we get a phone.
I see it as, why do I need to get you a phone when I never had one until I was 16?
Yeah, and my kids always say, like, how did you get anywhere?
I'm sure, right?
Oh, they tell me, they're like, how did you get? They can't believe that cell phones, cell phones were in the 80s. Remember Saved by the Bell with the giant hand phone? Yeah.
I remember the car phone.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
It was attached to the car.
Super wealthy.
Pager.
In the early 80s, right? Maybe if you were super wealthy, you might have had that. But, I mean, they weren't mainstream until 90s and really not till the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. A lot of people.
All right. So let's say that they happen to get a phone. Let's just say that. Now answer the question.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is me just like just thinking aloud here.
Yeah. Maybe.
For one,
if you're out there and you give us your,
we need some help because we.
I'd like to know
because I think I
young
I feel like with our oldest being a boy, it won't be quite as hard as it will be with the other one.
With yes,
the like other, she's the gonna want a phone next year, no. And she's gonna be three.
Wrong.
So
it will be the same.
It'll be the same.
I
really?
Promise.
Okay.
Oh yes.
So and I think this is to me this is another big thing, and I just think of I mean yes, phones weren't the same. Like how it is now for sure. Like when we were kids, like I didn't go until I was 16. I remember my sister got one on the same day. We had them on the same day and it was like, she was 13. I was 16. I thought it was so not fair. Like, why is she getting one? Cause that's when phones became a thing.
You thought she needed to wait.
Yeah. Like I just got one today.
Pay
you
her
did
dues.
Too. Like it was, yeah. So, but anyways, but I think that like having your child busy and like something where they're passionate about, where they're pouring their time into, whether it's like we were talking earlier, whether it's sports, whether it's game, you know, gaming, the esports we were talking about a little bit ago, whether it's, you know, chess club, something, you know, activities at school, but having things that they are involved in, that they are passionate about, that they're putting a lot of time into, that they can work hard at, is going to keep them out of a lot of, I mean, it will keep them out of a lot of trouble
oh,
and
certainly.
Just sitting there spending time on their phone. Because I'm like, I just think of how being, I know, I'm going off on a tangent here, but like being an athlete for me, like, I trained 4, 5, 6 hours a day, depending on different times in life. Like,
right.
There wasn't time to just sit and like stare at the computer screen or watch TV for hours. But other people, that's all they did. They came home from school and they did those things for hours.
Well, speaking of our little dude, I don't know if y'all are watching the
is he peeking in behind
he's peeking,
me?
Peek yeah,
peek through the window. But okay, the way I look at it is the same thing. If you keep him busy with sports or other things, then
that's
one less way that they're going to be spending time on their phone. But also, one thing that I heard
such
from
a mentor
of ours and even other parents that have gone through this is have almost a designated time to put their phones up at night, maybe. I don't know if
I shared this a couple weeks ago, didn't I?
Yeah, like a designated time at this time, basically kind of when they're going to bed. This time your phone goes here, my phone goes here, your mom's phone goes here at night. We're going to put them
here,
totally
we're going
to charge them all
that.
Together, and then tomorrow morning you can get them
I
back.
Mean, but you don't have to do that. There's parental controls you can do now where you can just shut it off where it doesn't work. You know, certain things, they can't access internet
different
or they can't.
At
yeah,
different times.
Right.
Yeah.
You can cut that off.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be more Instagram. Well, I don't know. Whatever it is, when your kids get old enough, you know how
Who
these
knows?
Things
it's,
come
it's
and go.
Gonna, yeah. It's going to change.
MySpace.
In a few years.
Oh.
Remember
MySpace.
But the thing I do like about that, because that was a mentor of mine that did that. Their whole family, they'd turn their phones in at, you know, 9 o'clock or whatever, all of them. The thing I really do like about that is you're setting the example too as the parent that like, hey, it's not just you. We're not just cutting your phone off. It's all of us. All of our phones are going right here. And so you're also creating that trust that like, and if you want to use it, come down here to the kitchen where they're all plugged in, get on your phone, do whatever here in the kitchen with everybody else around.
But with what we just said just a second ago, the question I have for both of y'all is, yes, right now it's TikTok. How are the parents going to stay up on the times and know what the next one's going to be?
Because we're the cool parents. We're going to know.
I mean, seriously, until it started booming out, people did. I mean, yeah,
I think it's part of culture, though. You see it if you pay close attention to. I find it amazing because people use TikTok as stories. It's like
stories.
The laziest journalism ever.
Stories
they just
people sell stuff now.
They'll just have yeah, but they'll have this thing going. Oh, this look at this horrible thing that happened, and then they just put a link, and then you got to go look up the dadgum, and you find out it's TikTok, and you're like, what? I mean, it's lazy journalism. You can tell that they just have one guy doing like, you know, 15 jobs because he's just linking to TikTok stuff, which is not journalism. It's just lazy.
Well, you know, I know people too that they'll just say, hey, I have this great recipe I found on TikTok. They had to join TikTok to get recipes because apparently that's a big thing just on TikTok is all these great recipes. So like, I don't know. Just the fact
I've never
that
seen anything.
I've never looked at TikTok.
Worth cooking TikTok. On TikTok, but okay, maybe I missed that. I do not have TikTok, and I have no intention of ever getting
nope,
it.
Nope, same.
Don't want to give the Chinese communists access to my iPhone. We'll be right back, guys, with some more more commentary on TikTok.
Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio.